chapter 4 Biblical Hermeneutics, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Luke 10 verses 25 to 26. An expert in the law of Moses stood up and asked Jesus a question to see what he would say. Teacher, he asked, What must I do to have eternal life? Jesus answered, What is written in the scriptures? How do you understand them? Luke 10 verses 25 to 26 ESV. Biblical hermeneutics, define this, is a book about interpretation, not a book of interpretations. Tate 1991 from Preface. Understanding the scope, depth, and nature of biblical hermeneutics is the key to achieving a valid and trustworthy interpretation. It is a discipline that encompasses and keeps in mind the biblical record of historic scriptural precedent. It is a system of approach used by Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament writers. It is a methodological device which must be cultivated and mastered and kept in the fore of the exegete's thinking. It is not just to be considered as a set of rules that govern interpretation. It should be considered as an entire framework of interpretive history that should govern the interpreter. The established rules of interpretation are found within the Word of God. The unestablished rules or theories about biblical interpretation are found elsewhere. Biblical hermeneutics cannot be quantified by presenting it as just a set of theories or rules or methodologies, etc. It is a field of study that must also be understood by true spirituality, beginning with the fear of God. For example, to name a few essentialities, if an exegete does not fear God, he is a danger to all. If the scriptures are not considered by the exegete to be God's word, then he is a danger to all. If the exegete cannot replace his view with God's view, he is a danger to all. Biblical hermeneutics starts with the fear of God, not with man alone, not with a reformer, not with a school of thought. Those that reject these types of premises are responsible for subjective and foolhardy interpretations. In this field of study, man is and always will be the problem. We must have God to interpret Scripture. But what does this mean? Anybody can say he hears from and as God. So, what is stated in general must be made specific. Hermeneutics is only possible if it starts with a student who fears and respects God and His Word. But what if the student is not in a covenantal relationship with God? What if the student does not have a revelation of the identity of the one true God of the Bible? This line of thinking could continue. In other words, there are prerequisites prior to the task of hermeneutics. See Klein 1993. In the world of hermeneutics, the definition of hermeneutics is not a totally settled issue. Exegetes use this term in a variety of ways. Here are some examples. A. Hermeneutics means theory of interpretation. Accordingly, all past and present reflections on methods of biblical interpretation are hermeneutical by nature. Coggins 1990, 282. B. Hermeneutics is the science of interpretation. The word is usually applied to the explanation of written documents and may therefore be more specifically defined as the science of interpreting an author's language. Terry 1911-17. C. Hermeneutics denotes the theoretical and methodological process of understanding meanings in signs and symbols, whether written or spoken. Hermeneutics has vital importance for the task of interpreting the Bible because it is the discipline through which people reflect on the concepts, principles, and rules that are universally necessary for understanding and interpreting any meanings whatsoever. Hayes 1999, Vol. 1 for 197. D. Since words mean what they mean through common usage, I use the terms hermeneutics and interpretation interchangeably. Tate 1991-15. Hermeneutics is the science and art of biblical interpretation. It is a science because it is guided by rules within a system, and it is an art because the application of the rules is by skill and not by mechanical imitation. As such, it forms one of the most important members of the theological sciences. Ram 1956-1. F. In the Encyclopedia of Theology, hermeneutics belongs to the bibliological group of studies, that is, to those studies that center about the Bible. It naturally follows the Philologia Sacra and immediately precedes exegesis. Hermeneutics and exegesis are related to each other as theory and practice. The one is a science, the other an art. Birkhoff 1988-13. Gee, although the word hermeneutics ordinarily covers the whole field of interpretation, including exegesis, is also used in the narrower sense of seeking the contemporary relevance of ancient texts. Fee and Stewart 1993-25. H. Influenced by the existentialism of Martin Heidegger, 1889-1976, a German philosopher, Bultmannism takes an existential approach to the Bible, which means that the concern of leaders in this movement is to get to the religious experience core of the Bible. This movement, called the New Hermeneutic, has been promoted by Ernest Fuchs, Gerhard Ebeling, and Hans-Georg Gadamer. In the New Hermeneutic, the biblical text can mean whatever the reader wants it to mean. Like Neo-Orthodoxy, the New Hermeneutic denies propositional truth. Truth exists existentially, that is, as a person experiences it, not in written form. Zuck 1991-54. Duncan Ferguson defines hermeneutics simply as the task of hearing what an ancient text has to say. Tate 1991-16. J. The term hermeneutics is used in at least three senses. Perhaps the most common refers to the actual techniques of biblical interpretation. A second sense has to do with the application of these techniques, with the results of that endeavor or the interpretation of the passage. A third sense refers to the whole conception of the nature of the interpretive task. This final sense is generally associated with the strategic issues of hermeneutics. The first sense, with the tactics of hermeneutics. Erickson 1993-9. K. Generally, the study of the locus of meaning and the principles of interpreting texts. Traditionally, biblical hermeneutics has been defined as bipolar, involving exegesis and interpretation, where the former is the process of examining a text to ascertain what its first readers will have understood it to mean, and the latter is the task of explaining or drawing out the implications of the understanding for contemporary readers and hearers. Tate 2006-163. L. Hermeneutic. 1. The study of the methodological principles of interpretation, as of the Bible. 2. A method or principle of interpretation. Merriam-Webster Dictionary. M. The term hermeneutics, as well as its more ambiguous and even mysterious cousin, hermeneutic, has become increasingly popular in recent decades. As a result, it has been pulled and stretched every which way. With so many writers using the word, it seems to behave as a moving target, and some readers have been known to suffer attacks of anxiety as they seek, in vain, to pin it down and figure out what it means. Its traditional meaning is relatively simple: the discipline that deals with principles of interpretation. Kaiser and Silva 1994. From Who Needs Hermeneutics Anyway? By Moises Silva 15. N. Hermeneutics is frequently defined as the science of textual interpretation of the Bible. Johnson 1998. O. Exegesis, like its well-traveled partner hermeneutics, is a word that is forever chasing a meaning. Quoted in Corley, EDS 1996. From A Student's Primer for Exegesis by Bruce Corley 1. P. The approach to the New Testament, which has come to be known as the New Hermeneutic, is associated most closely with the work of Ernst Fuchs and Gerhard Ebeling. Both of these writers insist on its practical relevance to the world today. Marshall, edition 1983. From The New Hermeneutic by A. C. Viselton 308. Q. The name, the New Hermeneutic, has been given to the application of the existential approach to the phenomenon of human understanding. It is called new because it brings the interpreter into a formative role in the interpretive process. It is called hermeneutic, singular, because it is not interested in guidelines or methods by which one determines the meaning of the text, the traditional task of hermeneutics, plural, but rather in this one approach or theory of understanding human thought. McQuilkin 1992-53. R. Hermeneutics, the skill or art of interpretation. Tan 1978-99. S. Among the prophets and apostles were those who were led to record or dictate their inspired insights into God's plan of salvation. Hermeneutics deals with interpretation of these ancient documents in the Bible. Ewer 2015. T. One of the many consequences of the crisis of confidence in the modern self proved a hermeneutical division that has marked interpretive theory since the Romantic era. It has surfaced in different forms as an argument between those who believe with Friedrich Schleiermacher that interpretation must recover an author's world or intention, and those who agree with G. W. F. Hegel that the creative spirit must appropriate the dead letter of text or tradition. This division runs through most contemporary hermeneutical debates and helps to explain the evident gap between contemporary evangelical Protestant hermeneutics and postmodern interpretation theory. London, 1999, from Interpreting Orphans, Hermeneutics in the Cartesian Tradition by Roger London, 5. In both groups of people I am personally most concerned to serve are those, especially feminist women, who are increasingly alienated from a text that is correctly seen, on the one hand, as androcentric and patriarchal, and on the other hand, as a primary and privileged connection with the spiritual tradition to which, as Christians, they and I belong. My hope is that an integral hermeneutical theory can ground a transformational hermeneutical praxis that will make the biblical text available as a faith resource to the oppressed as well as to the privileged among its readers. Schneider's 1991, 5v. Although hermeneutics has always been a significant part of biblical interpretation, from the 1960s onward, it has taken on new life as academic study of the Bible has become increasingly available to more diverse groups. The rise in the number of women and ethnic minorities in U.S. theological graduate schools, for example, has led to the awareness that some of what was formerly taken as objectively true in biblical scholarship was really the interpretation of a particular dominant social class. Carvalho, 2009, 56, W. Our study is in part a historical sketch of hermeneutics, the methodology of interpretation. But since this word seems to have been lost in ordinary English usage, we have employed interpretation, a much broader term, in its place. The interpretation of any written record of human thought is the exposition of its author's meaning in terms of our own thought forms. Though we may try to think his thought after him, ultimately our own mind must determine the way in which we express his meaning. Interpretation is always subjective as well as objective. Grant and Tracy, 1984, from Introduction by Robert Grant IV, X, the first approach, which I label integral hermeneutics, coheres admirably with God's unity and with hermeneutical analysis that seeks the definite meaning of a particular expression. Integral hermeneutics often upholds the premise that meaning subsists in texts, and it issues the ethical mandate that interpreters orient their readings toward the author's intended meaning. Adam, 2006:15. Why? The alternative perspective locates meaning not within texts, but in the manifold interactions of humans with texts or of humans with other humans. In this complex economy of interpretation, we nonetheless find many of the most careful, diligent, faithful, and learned readers reaching divergent conclusions about what a given text means. Rather than taking this as evidence that only one of them is right and the rest more or less mistaken, the second approach to interpretation takes this as a reason to regard difference in interpretation as a normative condition. Hence, I label this approach differential hermeneutics. Adam, 2006, 15-16, Z. H. Hermeneutics. An interpretation of a biblical text that seeks to make the text relevant to the present. This kind of interpretation uses a contemporary lens with which to transform the text. Feminism, Marxism, and liberation theology are all lenses that are often used. Carmody, 2004, 309, Origin and History of the Term Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics as an explicit theoretical construction did not appear until the 17th century, when the Latin word hermeneutica was first used in this sense. A's, 1999, Vol. 1 for 97, St. Luke, in his record of what has been called by some the most beautiful chapter in all the Bible, the account of the walk of the risen Lord with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, tells us that Jesus, beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The word here translated interpreted is the Greek word dermeneu. If we take away the two first letters, the prefix, and give a rough breathing to that initial letter, we have exactly the word from which our word hermeneutics is derived, meaning, then, the science of interpretation. Ram, 1956, from Preface by Wilbur M. Smith, 13. Why do we need hermeneutics? Because we need a guide, and Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Acts 8, verses 30-31. And Philip, running up to him, saw that he was reading Isaiah the prophet, and said to him, Is the sense of what you are reading clear to you? And he said, How is that possible when I have no guide? And he made Philip get up by his side. Acts 8 verses 30 to 31 BB. There are many reasons as to why we need biblical hermeneutics. Since this is a primer, only a few areas will be addressed. One reason that we need hermeneutics is because we need a guide to help us understand what the Bible says, a guide that understands both what is truth and what is not truth. We need a guide, an interpreter that understands that there are rules to which one must adhere. It would be very presumptuous for anybody to think that he could truly understand the Bible without any help. The Bible is so simple that the least educated can understand its basic message, and yet so profound that the best scholars can never exhaust its full meaning. Schultz, EDS 1976, from Introduction by Samuel J., Schultz 9. Why do we need hermeneutics? Because the Word of God is commonly and often misunderstood, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. 2 Peter 3 verse 16. Paul talks about these same things in all his letters, but part of what he says is hard to understand. Some ignorant and unsteady people even destroy themselves by twisting what he said. They do the same thing with other scriptures too. 2 Peter 3 verse 16. Another reason that we need biblical hermeneutics is because those that are unlearned and unstable rest the words of the Old Testament and the words of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament writers unto their own destruction. The Apostle Peter specifically mentions this problem in connection with some of the Apostle Paul's writings. See 2 Peter 3 verse 16. The Bible is commonly misunderstood by believers and non-believers alike. This is a universal problem. True spiritual understanding is not derived naturally. Spiritual blindness is common. We need revelation to help us interpret God's Word. If the apostles needed revelation, we also need revelation. The student exegete has a real need for God because he cannot truly interpret without him. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Ephesians 4 verses 17 to 18. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Romans 1 verses 28 and 31. Neither did the Pharisees have total understanding, who according to the Apostle Paul's testimony were the most exact sect of our religion. See Acts 26 verse 5 LITV. One translation says about Nicodemus, who also did not have complete and total understanding, that he was a highly respected expert in Moses' teachings. See Acts 5 verse 30, 4GW. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. John 8 verse 27. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? John 3 verses 9 to 10. Jesus told Nicodemus, You're a well-known teacher of Israel. Can't you understand this? John 3 verse 10 GW. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ at times did not understand. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Mark 9 verses 31 to 32. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Matthew 15 verses 15 to 16. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew 16 verses 5 to 12. Why do we need hermeneutics? We need hermeneutics because 1. Man is generally presumptuous. 2. Man is fleshly and carnal. And 3. Man cannot understand the things of God without the help of God. A big part of becoming an interpreter is knowing the interpreter himself. The student must pray that God will give him revelation and bestow understanding. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Luke 24 verse 45. Then he made the holy writings clear to their minds. Luke 24 verse 45 BB. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Psalms 111 verse 10. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yeah, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Psalms 119 verse 34. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1 verses 1 to 7. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2 verses 1 to 6. Why do we need hermeneutics? Because man needs a governor, we need hermeneutics for many legitimate reasons. In the first place, humanity needs a governor. Humanity without God is ungovernable. Humanity without God cannot see, cannot truly understand, therefore cannot truly interpret. For the Christian, especially for the exegete, God must become the governor. One way for God to specifically become the governor is for the would-be exegete to obey Acts 2 verse 38 and to proceed from there with a fear of God and a deep respect for the Word of God. Without a governor, there is no chance for valid interpretation. The Scriptures, through the knowledge of the one true God and the fear of God, are the rails by which the interpreter must safely and decidedly ride. The values taught in Scripture, however, conflict with those of the natural human being. This conflict affects adversely the ability of the unsanctified believer to interpret the biblical text correctly. When we move from descriptive biblical theology as an end in itself to the study of the text to give meaning and purpose to life, things change. In this situation, there is a tendency to modify the meanings of the Bible to make them palatable. Erickson 1993, 36. Why do we need hermeneutics? Because some believe hermeneutics is the problem. An argument can be made that hermeneutics is the problem. The problem occurs when hermeneutics is actually a theologian's attempt to protect his novel doctrines and theories by concocting rules that benefit and validate his own particular belief system and simultaneously invalidate the beliefs of others. I believe that this is a valid argument, because wheresoever humanity is, there is the real potential for corruption. You can count on it to be so. It has been done before. It will more than likely continue to happen. Just a cursory study of how Romanism has constructed its belief system bears that out. For example, look at how Roman Catholicism claimed apostolic succession. But that does not negate the fact that there are valid hermeneutical laws and established exegetical practices to follow. There are those that wrest Scripture to their own destruction, and then there are those that create or build an elaborate wall, hermeneutical laws and devices, to protect what they believe to be true. but a true biblical hermeneutist will endeavor to build his doctrines and theories within the rails of scripturally stated dictates and established rules. Everybody seems to know the person that has a tremendous amount of book smarts, but is entirely wanting in common sense and wisdom. Likewise, is the exegete that specializes in simply familiarizing himself with or specializing in methods or principles of interpretation without understanding the history and application of those methodologies. But more to the point, tragically, he cannot discern the trustworthiness or the untrustworthiness of those methodologies, the degree of merit, or the degree of danger. False doctrines are created by man, and so are invalid and spurious methodologies. As it's been stated before, hermeneutics is the art and science of interpretation. This study both emphasizes the art aspect of hermeneutics and a thorough understanding of methodologies as defined by the apostolic faith. The grammatico-historical exegete, furnished with suitable qualifications, intellectual, educational, and moral, will accept the claims of the Bible without prejudice or adverse prepossession, and, with no ambition to prove them true or false, will investigate the language and import of each book with fearless independence. Terry 1911, 70. Why do we need hermeneutics? Because there are gaps that block our understanding hermeneutics is needed. Then, because of the historical, cultural, linguistic, and philosophical gaps that block spontaneous, accurate understanding of God's Word. Verkler 1981, 20. There are gaps that block or greatly inhibit interpretation. We must have rules that help bridge those gaps. There are multiple gaps that must be confronted. The linguistic gap is one of those obstacles and is a massive challenge in and of itself. The cultural gap is another obstacle or hurdle. The difficulty and implications of that gap alone can seem like an insurmountable chore, especially when you consider the contemporary cultural misunderstandings that plague us today. We do not seem to understand each other. This gap has fueled hatred and mistrust, and this is contemporary history, not ancient biblical history. Now, at approximately 2,000 years and more, how about the chronological gap? Have you considered how much time has passed since the writing of the Old Testament scriptures? Time has a way of creating difficulties. Time gives people an opportunity to rewrite history. Each generation has had its events and has a story that defines that period of time. How many times have we misunderstood the previous generation or the generation before that? It is a challenge to understand the generation of Abraham or Moses or Daniel, etc. There's been a lot of water under the bridge, so to speak, between us and them. That is why we need laws, methods, and rules to help us safely cross the bridge that leads to understanding and true and valid interpretation. Does the student have an ecclesiastical gap to bridge that stems from a previously held Roman Catholic, Protestant, Greek Orthodox, etc. perspective? How many exegetes interpret through the lens of the denomination that directly or indirectly influenced them without any true and significant awareness? I would argue that in many cases this influence is much more powerful than the Jewish influence. We claim to be connected spiritually to the apostolics of the Bible, but we are not culturally connected. We are much more connected to American Western Christian understandings than to anything else. We need hermeneutics to bridge this wide gap. For example, as an ex-Catholic who believed the passage in Exodus 20 verses 3 to 4, which says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth," was to be taken literally without exceptions and without contextual considerations. So naturally, I was stumped by the passage found in Numbers 21:8-9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put upon a pole, and it came to pass, that if a serpent had bitten any man, we beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." CX 25:18-20, 26:21, 1 KGS, 6:23-38, 7:23-29. There are also other gaps that block or impede biblical interpretation. For example, there are gaps in our education that must be considered. Knowing this helps us to understand that we must bridge those gaps. Beyond what are typically mentioned as natural impediments, there are other types of gaps, contemporary gaps that block or hinder interpretation. These modern gaps are also difficult to overcome. For example, I contend that there is also a logic gap. It is unfortunate that current trends and methods of liberal education have virtually abandoned the subject of logic. Therefore, as a consequence, we have the added burden of teaching those that cannot think clearly nor discern fallacy. When we interpret scripture, there are several blocks to a spontaneous understanding of the original meaning of message. Verklar 1981-19. The historical gap. There is a historical gap caused by the fact that we are widely separated in time from the original writers and readers. Verklar 1981-19. But the words of one age and nation can never be the exact and complete expression of the thoughts of another, and for books immortalized by the accumulated reverence of generations. Exegesis becomes a matter of necessity. It is required for the explanation of a significance which time has obscured. Farrar 1961-3. The cultural gap. A cultural gap exists, resulting from the fact that there are significant differences between the culture of the ancient Hebrews and our contemporary one. Verklar 1981-19. The linguistic gap. The Bible was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, three languages that have very different structures and idioms from our own. Verklar 1981-20. The most obvious divergence is that of language. The Bible was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. To formulate rules to bridge this gap is one of the most important tasks of biblical hermeneutics. The basic problem at this point is that languages are structurally different. Ram 1956-4-5. An understanding of the Hebrew and Aramaic language and their idioms provides limitless help in the Gospels and early chapters of Acts. For example, understanding the expression Kingdom of Heaven in Matthew's Gospel as an equivalent Hebrew idiom for the term Kingdom of God in the other Gospels enables the interpreter to avoid making artificial theological distinctions between the two. Schultz, EDS 1976, From History and Culture in New Testament Interpretation by Alan Johnson, 145. The philosophical gap. Views of life, of circumstances, of the nature of the universe differ among various cultures. To transmit a message validly from one culture to another, a translator or reader must be aware of both the similarities and the contrasts in worldviews. Verklar 1981-20. Why do we need hermeneutics? To avoid the wrong kind of hermeneutics, man is notoriously a creature of extremes, and nowhere is that fact more evident than in the attitude taken by different ones to this subject. Pink 1974-7. In Milton S. Terry's book called Biblical Hermeneutics, he states that the ancient Jewish expositions of the Old Testament exhibit numerous absurd methods of interpretation. For example, the letters of a word were reduced to their numerical value, and then some other word or statement was sought having the same letters in another order, or other letters aggregating the same numerical value, and the two words were thereupon regarded as equivalent in meaning. 1911-58. Any methodology that produces an interpretation which strays from the central theme of the Bible is to be rejected. For the most part, faulty interpretations are the byproduct of faulty hermeneutics. No doubt the exegete in question violated some valid hermeneutical law to produce it. In contrast, correct interpretations are correct because they are firmly established by the do's and the don'ts of hermeneutical law and are never in conflict with what is already plainly stated in Scripture. Milton Terry so aptly stated, "Erroneous and absurd methods of explanation are mostly traceable to false notions of the Bible itself. Prejudices and assumptions hostile to the spirit of the holy writings have begotten methods of interpretation which pervert and flatly contradict the plainest statements of Scripture." 1911-58. We need apostolic hermeneutics, a hermeneutic that is based exclusively on scriptural precedent. Some may dismiss the methodologies or system of approach that strike them as wrong the moment they know who produced them, Calvinism. But was Calvin's approach to hermeneutics completely wrong? What about methodologies that impress us and woo us because they were created by a theologian that we favor for whatever reason? It would probably be hard for us to ignore and dismiss elaborate explanations and theories in that case. But does accepting these methods' explanations without critical examination guarantee good results? I do not believe incorrect methodologies can produce favorable results, even by accident. Much of the present-day confusion in the realm of religion and in the application of biblical principles stems from distorted interpretation and misinterpretation of God's Word. This is true even in those circles which adhere unwaveringly to the infallibility of Holy Scriptures. Burkhoff, 1988. From preface written by the publishers, the student must not assume to really know the meaning of the theological terms, methodological terms, etc., without finding out exactly what the creator of the given term originally meant. The term may have a slight or not so slight shade of meaning that is completely overlooked. The terms infallible and more recently, inerrant, are often used to describe the reliability of a Bible. The former term focuses on the doctrinal reliability of the Bible, the latter on its factual reliability. It is not always understood, however, that these terms are essentially meaningless apart from an explanation of what is infallible and inerrant. Stein, 2001, 61-62, even before the time of the virtual abandonment by liberal seminaries of the idea that the Scriptures are the authoritative source of Christian dogmatics, the study of hermeneutics was relegated mostly to the department of Old Testament. At the same time, it too often degenerated into arbitrary classification of favored interpretations which were dictated by acceptable creedal dicta rather than by the application of the laws governing logical interpretive procedure. It seems certain that the thought that hermeneutics as a science has to do with the mastery and the applicability of the laws governing interpretation was too often forgotten. Chafer, 1939-11, these made no exegetically advance during the period of the Reformation. They did not admit the right of private judgment and defended, as over against the Protestants, the position that the Bible must be interpreted in harmony with tradition. Burkhoff, 1988. Speaking of Roman Catholics, 27. It is not the privilege of any interpreter to impose his own thought upon the words of an author, nor in any to modify the author's meaning. The moment that one allows oneself this privilege, one ceases to be an interpreter and becomes a collaborator with the author. Quoted in Chafer, 1939, 12. Why do we need hermeneutics? Because meaning is apparently elusive in present scholarship, there are three different groups of theories regarding the locus and actualization of meaning. Author-centered, with attention directed to the world behind the text. Text-centered, with a focus on the world within the text or the textual world. And reader-centered, where the spotlight is trained upon the world in front of the text or the reader's world. Tate, 1991, 16. In assigning meaning to a word, the exegete is on the most solid basis when the author himself has defined the term he uses. For example, the writer to the Hebrews defines perfect in Hebrews 5 verse 14 as those who by practice have their senses trained in the discrimination of good and of evil. Kaiser, 1981, 106-107. In biblical interpretation, we must pay greater attention to words that have profound theological meaning than to those of lesser significance. It profits little to go to the trouble of counting how many times the conjunction and appears in the Bible. Ewer, 2000, 60. Meaning is at the heart of communication. Words provide the building blocks of meaning, grammar, and syntax the design. However, until recently semantics, determining word meaning, was more an art than a science. Osborne, 1991, 64. Without grammatical relationships with other words, there is no meaning. If I utter the term counter, the hearer has no idea what I mean. Without a context in a grammatical sentence, a word is meaningless. Only as I say look on the counter, or counter's argument, does the term have a connotation. Osborne, 1991, 64. The lexical fallacy. It has become common to assume that word studies can settle theological arguments. Osborne, 1991, 65-66. This overemphasis upon words to the detriment of context leads to one of the most serious of Barr's criticisms, illegitimate totality transfer. After going to so much trouble to find multitudinous meanings and uses for a word, it is hard for the scholar to select just one for the passage. The tendency is to read all or most of them, that is, to transfer the totality of the meanings into the single passage. Osborne, 1991, 66, the root fallacy. This common error assumes that the root of a term and its cognates carries a basic meaning that is reflected in every subordinate use of the words. Osborne, 1991, 66, misuse of etymology. Thus, until recently, scholars believed that the key to a word's meaning lay in its origin and history. This assumption of linear development lay behind the misuse of etymology, wherein any past use of a word could be read into its current meaning. Osborne, 1991, 69, misuse of subsequent meaning. The opposite problem from etymology occurs when we read later meanings back into the biblical material. This occurs, for instance, when martys, witness, is interpreted in terms of its second century meaning of martyrdom. Osborne, 1991, 71. Why do we need hermeneutics? To avoid eisegesis and the unintended consequences thereof eisegesis, the interpretation of a text, as of the Bible, by reading into it one's own ideas. Merriam-Webster, Inc., 2018. It is our contention that the most plausible interpretation or reading of a text cannot be realized apart from consideration of the world that gave birth to the text. Tate, 1991. 4. Why do we need hermeneutics? Because there is a history of fanciful and erroneous forms of interpretation. So extremely literal was rabbinic interpretation that it ignored the essential in the Old Testament scriptures and overestimated the incidental. The rabbis did not take a comprehensive view of the connected sense of a passage, but dissected scripture into minutest details and assigned a meaning to a word, or even a single Hebrew character, independent of the evident thought of the writer. Thus they took the first word of Genesis 1 verse 1, Bereshith, in the beginning, and compared it with Jeremiah 26 verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, and concluded from the identity of the opening word in the two verses that the first verse of Genesis referred to God's dealing with Israel in the reign of Jehoiakim. These are not extreme instances, but typical examples of the methods used. Dana, 1951, 26-27. When interpreters disregard the normal signification of words and go searching for all sorts of supposedly hidden meanings, the eclipse of true Bible study results. Imagination and speculation run wild as interpreters place themselves out of all well-defined principles and laws, appointing themselves arbitrators of what the Bible says. Tan, 1978-25. Historical and literacy facts cannot be determined by standards of orthodoxy or creedal pronouncements. They must be discovered by painstaking investigation and recognized as phenomenal facts. Unwillingness to accept this obvious principle has done untold damage to the noble science of biblical interpretation, indeed, has threatened to forfeit its place as a recognized scientific process. Dana, 1951-102. Among the earliest of the great doctrinal commentators, we find the name of John Lightfoot, 1602-1675. He was a prominent English churchman and was consequently possessed of a strong theological interest. His chief attention was given to the Old Testament and Judaism, but he also produced a few works of importance in New Testament interpretation. His exegesis is arbitrary in method and everywhere loyal to the traditional theology. He assumes without argument that the doctrine of the Trinity is taught in Gen 1:1. And finds the same doctrine implied in the three men who appeared to Abraham at Mamre. Quoted in Dana, 1951-111, homiletical interpretation necessarily has been of a very practical nature, but presents some dangers concerning which the preacher should exercise great caution. 1. One of its most prevalent defects is what is called extreme spiritualizing. This is devising true or plausible meanings and ascribing them to Scripture for hortatory purposes. Allegorical and typological methods are freely employed to read into passages meanings utterly different from the simple historical or practical significance which originally belonged to them. In the application of this type of exegesis, fierce controversy has raged over the question whether the prodigal son was a Christian backslider or an unregenerate sinner, a problem that has not the remotest relation to the original purpose of the parable. Dana, 1951-120-121. Homiletical interpretation also has been frequently a prey to extreme theological bias. The preacher makes the Bible but a vehicle for or fortification of his own doctrinal beliefs. He stubbornly ignores any evidence that might deprive him of a supposed scriptural proof or that tends to present the Bible in a light different from his own preconceived ideas. With vehement eloquence, he thunders forth his private interpretation, so impressing his audience with the fervor of his spirit that they are left convinced regardless of the real status of the evidence in the case. Dana 1951-201.